And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On today's episode of the Glue Guys, this is our second open because as we were recording classic Glue Guys fashion, we had breaking news that Shams Charania is reporting that Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he is a full participant. Brian and I are going to talk about that and the whole much more. And the what a day.
Yeah, another what a day. Good stuff.
To the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello,
hello,
Brian. Check us out on Twitter at PKGlueGuys and that's daily.com. The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall at theathletic.com/GlueGuys. 50% off. Brian, we have breaking news. We had been recording a pod for about an hour now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how I'm going to patch this all together. But yeah, keep going. Roll with it.
And just as we were about to wrap up, we were kind of making light jokes about the Terrence Williams dental scam. Shams Charania of The Athletic, who you can read at The Athletic at theathletic.com/GlueGuys, has reported that Kyrie Irving will not be allowed to play until he is a full participant with the team. And here's the statement that Sean Marks has given to Shams Charania, and I'm sure to other people too. And I'll read it in full right now. Given the evolving nature of the situation, and after thorough deliberations, we've decided Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he is eligible to be a full participant. Kyrie has made a personal choice, and we respect his individual right to choose. Currently, the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of the team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability. It is an imperative that we continue to build chemistry as a team and remain true to our long-established values of togetherness and sacrifice. Our championship goals for the season have not changed. To achieve these goals, each member of our organization must pull in the same direction. We are excited for the start of the season and look forward to a successful campaign that will make the borough of Brooklyn proud. Okay.
Full-throated, Mike. A full-throated rebuke.
Yeah, so that's quite a strong statement. It really, I love the fact that they're like, Kyrie has made a personal choice and we respect his right to choose his body, his choice. But also, you're not playing basketball for us until you get the shot. I think this is, we have no clue how he's going to react. And I mean, you could guess that he's going to say basically F off. I'm then not playing basketball. He is that. The range of possibilities with Kyrie is so wild. You know, like ultimately, and I do not mean this as a negative. Money doesn't seem to motivate him at all, right? He has not blinked an eye about money. The championship drive, he's already won a championship. And he has said he wants to win, but maybe he just, maybe he feels as a competitor, he doesn't really care. What do you make?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's the first little bit of hardball the Nets have ever played with any of these guys at any point ever.
Ever.
Yeah. I am encouraged to see that they did it, you know, because this is a kind of thing that you could ostensibly kick the can down the road indefinitely and have your hands clean of any real decision making. So I'm actually encouraged to see that they're applying some requisite pressure here. I'm thinking really about like what could I predict Kyrie Irving will, how will he respond? Is he going to dig in like a tick and not move off this point now, if now that he's got a little like slap on the wrist, because that's maybe how he'll perceive it. They've certainly weighed the decision in a multitude of ways, and you know, maybe they have some insight into whether or not he was like anticipating something like this. But if he wasn't, yeah.
Do you think that they reached out to him before they put out this statement? Because the statement almost reads like a direct message to Kyrie, which of course it is. Do you think they said to Kyrie, "Hey, you won't play for us unless if you're a full-time player"? Or do you think that they're they were like, "We're going to really put pressure on him and not tell him ahead of time"? I imagine that they told him, because they must have had a conversation before they put this out with Kyrie Irving and said to him, "Hey, if you're not going to get the shot, like, we're not going to play you." Right? Don't you think that's how it would go?
I really don't know. It's so hard because, like, I'm just really trying to think about like what the lines of communication are right now.
That's what's tough.
Yeah. Cause it seems like, I mean, like they, I'm just using the example of Media Day. Like he was supposed to be at Media Day, like listening to Sarah Kustuk on the Zach Lowe thing. Like everyone assumed, like that one tweet that went out the night before from the New York Times
Adam
guy.
Zagoria,
yeah. Like that was what everybody else got too. Sarah Kustuk was saying that they had it all, you know, on their thing, that like he was expected to be there at 9:30 or whatever, and then he just wasn't there. He was at home. So like something is breaking down with the lines of communication somewhere along the way. You're right. Like there was the other thing we were talking about, or we will talk about in the future on the other version of the next episode, with the Frank Isola business, with like him having an appointment to get a vaccination.
Yeah, explain that, because people are going to be listening to this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you.
So, well, Frank, I saw this from someone else's tweet aggregating Frank Isola. So again, I apologize if this is like incorrect, but Frank Isola apparently said on his SiriusXM NBA radio show that the Nets had an appointment for Kyrie Irving to get a vaccine shot. I don't know when this would have been. This probably would have been around Media Day, maybe like a little bit after that. Kyrie had said that he was going to go and then didn't go. And that's when like things have kind of shifted in the organization, of where they have like no clue what's happening with Kyrie. And so that, and that lines up with, and as you'll hear later in the pod, yeah, because for listeners, and we recorded a whole episode and then this news drops. We just wanted to bring you the latest, but the organization had acted like, yeah, Kyrie is going to get the shot. Like they had been acting like that. Sean Marks had been saying he was confident that they'd have the whole team. And he was also confident that James Harden and Kyrie Irving would sign long-term extensions. And now you're kind of thankful that Kyrie hasn't, because that's a whole nother issue if he had signed an extension with the team. But then suddenly sort of the organization had shifted and they acted like they had no clue what was going to happen. And I think that I saw a tweet, not that Frank tweeted it, but that someone referenced him. I think it's probably true. I think he probably did have a vaccine appointment and he decided not to show up for what the reasons that he feels. I think, as you said, this is an extremely interesting move by the Nets, because it is the first time that they have ever seemingly publicly put a hard line out to one of their players, ever. Like, they are the softest organization when it comes to sort of how much allowance they give players, and I think it's been to their benefit. I mean, the reason why Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and then James Harden wanted to be here was that, you know, they could come here and not feel like so much with the media obligation. They could kind of run their own little kingdoms within the organization. They can hire the assistant coaches that they wanted to. I mean, Kevin Durant has an assistant coach. He has a couple of guys that have been with him before that are now assistants with the Nets. Like the DeAndre Bembry signing, who played at Kyrie's high school, is kind of viewed as like Kyrie wanted Bembry here. Or at least that was the idea. Who knows if that's actually true? These guys have been given, you know, full run, you know, this is a massive move by Sean Marks to say publicly and fully stating that Kyrie cannot be playing basketball. And it's against, this is the thing, it's against our long established values of togetherness and sacrifice. Now, let me ask you, Brian. Does Sean Marks put this through to Harden and Durant beforehand too? Like, I think this has been, I think if this is being put out, everyone has got to be on board with this decision.
I think so. Right? And I think also that the timing of it is interesting too, to wait for the day after sort of a, like an obnoxious preseason game. Like, yeah, it's preseason, whatever, but like that Kyrie wasn't there for, like, I'm wondering if there was any kind of like hoops that people had to jump through with regards to like whether or not that was going to happen. Like, it just, you know, I feel like it's an interesting time to release that after that kind of like preseason weird loss without Kyrie there, because it's like, all right, did Kevin, like, give them a little time to see what it would be like throughout the whole season to be like, this kind of sucks. Like, this is stupid. Like, we need to just do something differently here. So I like, and it's kind of like, kind of reminds me of like Nash and DeAndre Jordan, like give them enough to see what it's like and then like pull it off the table. Right. Like, you know, so it's like, give them, like, show them what it's like to be traveling without Kyrie or having the whole uncertainty circus surrounding it. Like for just like a little while. And then, now we can have the conversation. It really helps to kind of see the thing play out before making a decision, I think. And so I would be willing to guess that, yeah, I think that probably definitely went through those channels before coming out, for sure.
Well, and again, we talk about this later in the episode, but Woj during the preseason game last night said, and Alex Sturm, shouts to him for aggregating, that's the true journalism, and I appreciate it, that Josai, Sean Marks, Kevin Durant, and James Harden would all be the ones, and he left out Steve Nash, and everyone yelled about that. Woj did, but I imagine Steve Nash is involved with this too. They would all deliberate and decide what to do with Kyrie Irving, right? So Woj reported that last night. There's a thought out there that Woj and Sean Marks are pretty close. Like, Woj kind of will often say things as like, I'm going to guess the Nets are going to do this, and then the Nets do it like in 2 days. Like, that happens a lot. So Woj goes on TV during a Nets preseason game and says that there's this group of people that are making a decision. And then the next day we get this statement. Again, this statement is like, it is so unusual, not only for just, I mean, it's unusual for the Nets to do this, but also for any NBA team to specifically say to a superstar on the team, like, hey, like, we don't want you. Like, we don't want you if you're going to do...
Is that the takeaway?
We don't know. Yeah. We don't want you if you're going to do the thing that you're sticking to do, which is not get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is kind of crazy where it's like, this was like a perfect confluence of issues where Kyrie has always been a denier of science on many, many levels going way back. The flat earth stuff. We have a pandemic. How great was that? Fantastic.
It
was
so good.
There's a vaccine that there's been a massive amount of disinformation around. And he happens to play in a city that COVID hit the hardest and has these vaccine mandates that are for the public good. And it's like all these factors, like if he was still playing for Cleveland, he wouldn't get the shot and no one would care. And we would all just, I mean, there'd be some statement about it, but no one would really, like Bradley Beal said the things that he said. We've all moved on from Bradley Beal, haven't we? Like, he's, you know, he hasn't got the shot. You know, it's just like the perfect Kyrie storm. And you said this to me, and I think it's true. It's like Kyrie's risking his career for Facebook memes. Like,
yeah. Having your disinformation receptors open is a problem, guys. It's a bad problem. Just full stop. It's going to be a problem. You got to fix that in whatever capacity you possibly can. You don't want to have, you don't want to be asking so many questions that you land on flat earth. That's too many questions. You've asked one too many questions at that point.
Yeah. That, so it's wild. Like, and I think like, can we, like we game plan it out? Like, do you think this motivates him at all to get a shot? Like, that's also the kind of thing where it's like, I think the Nets are kind of stuck because what could they possibly do to help push Kyrie towards getting the shot? Now, the one thing that they could have maybe have done is, do you know like how insanely restrictive it is if you are unvaccinated and you're trying to play in the NBA? Like, your locker has to literally be distant from everyone right. else. Yeah. I think you have to fly like on a different part of the plane. Like, you are not allowed to eat with anyone. You have to stay in your room. There are like all these qualifications. And I do wonder if like, the way you talked about DeAndre Jordan is like, we're going to start him. You're going to see that he's bad so that you guys can know, like, with Kyrie, it's like maybe they could have gone 2 weeks into the season and be like, hey, Kyrie, like this, your life sucks being unvaccinated. You can't like do anything. Why don't you try to get vaccinated and make your life better? But it must be a decision organization to be like, well, if we let him play at all, then we're backed into a corner. Cause why let him play at all and then pull him back?
To a certain extent, I think that they maybe even tried to do that with stuff like the, like practice at the park or whatever, that kind of stuff, like where he had to wear the mask the entire time and it was like sort of treated differently. But I think, and this is complete guesswork and conjecture, like Kyrie might be the kind of guy that even like likes that to a certain extent, you know, that's like a badge of honor that he's like willing to jump through those hoops to like, you know, die on this hill that he wants to die on now. Like it might be like feeding into that, like maybe like more menacing little troll in his ego.
It's so crazy. I mean, the things I'm going to be most interested in looking forward is like, how do Kevin Durant and James Harden react? Like if we see even a hint of, like, hey, man, this is bullshit that Kyrie is being blasted out like this. This whole situation could get so screwed. And I would doubt that would be because Sean Marks, if anything, has been a pretty good judge of, like, reading the room. He reads the room pretty well. And he gets a lot of information. Joe Tsai is very close to Durant and Harden. Joe Tsai is 1,000% also behind this decision too. And if they so misjudged the room that in fact that KD and Harden were like, no, man, we support Kyrie fully. Like he shouldn't feel like he has to get the vaccine. Why are you guys doing this? And the whole thing could like really implode. I don't know what percentage I put that at a pretty small percentage. Cause I can't imagine they would do that.
Yeah.
John Hollinger has a Kyrie trade idea. Kyrie back to Boston for Marcus Smart. I love it. Send him.
Can we, what's up with Damian Lillard? Where do we land on that? Let's get. Yeah. I would like someone better than Marcus Smart, if possible. I'm getting greedy, maybe with this situation. But anyways, okay. Well, interesting. I'm glad that there's some level of. I'm glad that the Nets finally did something here, one way or the other. That's helpful, I think. A little clarity is helpful.
Why do you think it was an issue to have him be a part-time player? Like, what I think this comes down to is because they were acting like, oh, if he's in and out of the lineup, it affects, you know, everyone. It affects our. I think what it really is that they're playing the long game, knowing that if they don't force Kyrie now to get the vaccine, that if the mandate stays in place to the playoffs, it would totally F up their playoff run. It has nothing to do with the regular season, right? Because in the regular season, if he misses home games, 41 home games is a lot, but you could make up for it. In the playoffs, if you miss 4 home playoff games in a series, that is a drastic, you know, massive difference in outcomes possibly.
I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for doing this. I think like, I wouldn't put it past KD and James Harden to like legitimately build some resentment. And like, you want to nip this in the bud before like there's a irrevocable resentment buildup situation for a guy who's, you know, now put everyone in this position where, it's just very much like Kyrie. And I hate to say this because like, again, I've often advocated for Kyrie and said that he's a chill bro, but he does have a little bit of a blind spot for how much pressure he applies to other people who are, you know, enduring the downstream effects of his decisions. Like we talk about this for just even as something as innocuous as media today, where like he doesn't show up and now KD, who very conspicuously hates being asked like a bunch of questions about other people and stuff like that, is just left holding the bag to like now do the Kyrie question defending or whatever. And like Kyrie then goes on and is like, I did everybody a favor. And like he doesn't maybe like see how that can start to really get under people's skin potentially. And this is more of like a, you know, this is conjecture again of the EQ version. So very, very low hanging conjecture. But I do think that like getting ahead of this can also make sure that there isn't like something, you know, future down the line, something truly divisive being sown in the ranks between a guy who's just being treated massively different from everybody else on the team.
Yeah. And like the Nets are every media availability, you know, going forward, like, let's say Kyrie, what I imagine is going to happen is Kyrie is going to go, like, incommunicado for a certain amount of weeks. Like he's just not going to talk to the Nets. Maybe he'll do some veiled Instagram posts but like he's not going to be like, oh yeah, I'll go get the vaccine. Like that would be shocking if he just suddenly was like, yeah, I don't know, I'll go get it. Why is everyone bugging? And so the Nets Katie Harden and Nash are they're going to be asked about Kyrie at every media availability, but it will be much less tension if everyone's on board with what just happened than if he was there. Than if he was a part-time participant. And I spoke to former NBA coach George Karl from the Nuggets and Seattle Supersonics for a Knicks documentary I did for The Athletic. And George Karl was talking about the situation when Carmelo Anthony was available as a trade, and obviously the Nets could have gotten him or the Knicks. And Melo played on the Nuggets the whole year with the trade demand being out there and him wanting to be traded, but he was on the Nuggets. And George Karl said, it is like nothing that Carmelo did wrong in terms of beyond asking for the trade. But he said every day sucked. Every single day sucked. You're being asked about it every day. The players are being asked about where Carmelo is going to go every day. Players were coming into George Karl's office saying, George, please trade Carmelo. When it wasn't George's decision, it was Masai Ujiri's. But please trade him. This sucks. We don't want to play with a guy who doesn't want to be here, right? And so it's a little different. Kyrie hasn't made a trade demand. He probably does actually want to be here. He just doesn't want to get a vaccine shot. But it sucks when you have one of the 15 guys is drawing this much attention that everyone else has to answer questions about that one person. And that one person is a difficult person to even talk to regardless. Like, you know, Kyrie, when he does let his guard down a bit, is great to talk to. Right. And he can be really open with the media, but he just doesn't like to talk to reporters. He has no relationship with the guys who cover the team. And that hurts him in the situation because all the information that has to come from Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steve Nash, and the moments when we get Sean Marks, you know, out of his suite in Barclays and he does some media interview. So all the tension is just on everyone else but Kyrie Irving. God, it's so wild, dude. The funny thing is, and we've talked about this before, if they don't get anything from Kyrie, like let's say Kyrie doesn't play ever again and they get nothing for him in a trade, I still think the Nets are the title favorites.
Yeah, that's the other part. Yeah.
Does this, like, there is an argument, like we kind of were talking about this part-time player, like it does a lot, like you then just put the roles and you're like, hey, Harden, you're the point guard. You control the offense, and KD just scores 30 a game, and we go from there.
Can I say something just to put it out there? Just like if this guy retires because of this like non-reason, it will be the most embarrassing like end to a otherwise like so potentially spectacular NBA career of any. Like it'll just be such a waste. Yeah. Like that you just couldn't get out of your own way off the internet enough to like save your like completely potentially spectacular legacy in the NBA is so bad and dumb and wasteful. I hate it so much, but that's where we are.
There would be no other career like it. I mean, people have retired for other reasons like that have been sort of unexpected but no one...
You're being lied.
No one is retired because of me.
You're being lied to. But people always talk about like the deep state or whatever. There is like incentives for people to lie to you about anti-vax stuff. They're getting paid on the internet for it, guys. It's dead simple.
It's been proven that very like China and Russia are fueling a lot of the disinformation around COVID because they want it to be fueled here.
Anyways,
like they want issues here.
But yeah, I'm just want to put it out there that like if this really truly, and I don't think it will, but let's say it does, like actually puts the like a bookend at this dude's career. And again, I don't think that this is going to happen, but like if it does, this is as tragic an end to a career as I've ever seen.
I don't know, man. He is so unpredictable, and there's just a continual bent about him, and it's sometimes good, but sometimes bad. He's just a contrarian. There's nothing that he will do that it's like the normal thing to do. It's like, am I happy the Nets sent a statement? You know, people are saying like, oh, I'm proud of the Nets for making this stand and being this strong, you know, on this issue, good for the Nets. And it's like, you know, they wouldn't be this strong in this issue if it didn't affect basketball on the bottom line. Like, this isn't a public health thing. This is a, hey, we want all of our good players thing. Here are the scenarios. Retirement, getting traded, getting the shot, or I guess just not playing until the mandate's dropped. I mean, that's a small one.
They're not gonna roll back that mandate. Now, once you get that thing through, like that's just not happening. Why would you give up ground?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Brooklyn Borough President. You know, he's from Brooklyn.
Fair.
Shout out to Brooklyn. I honestly think retirement's the number one thing on the list. I think it's above getting the shot for him.
You really think so?
I think
getting the shot yet, still higher chance. I actually think that there's a better chance that this forces his hand. I gotta think, but maybe I'm just hoping against hope.
Well, so here's how it forces his hands. If like Kevin Durant, James Harden are on the text thread with Kyrie, all blue bubbles, all iPhones, and they're saying, come on, just get like, we all got it. Kevin Durant's like, I had COVID and then I got the shot. I feel way better about my life. Like if they as his peers, the non-pawns are putting pressure on Kyrie Irving and saying to him like, dude, you can get one shot. You don't need to get both of them. Just get one. Like, you know, do that. That's the only way to do it. I don't think like Sean Marks means anything to Kyrie Irving. I don't think Josiah means anything to Kyrie Irving.
No.
But there's one other player in this, and I don't think this means anything to Kyrie Irving either, but Kyrie is one of Nike's biggest clients. Kyrie means a lot to Nike. It means a lot to their bottom line to have Kyrie Irving playing basketball because he's one of the biggest sellers of shoes that they have. Like, I can't believe that Nike isn't also trying to put some pressure on Kyrie too. Like, yeah. He's,
Let me paint another picture for you. Kyrie very publicly gets vaccinated, says the same thing that he did. He like rescinds his logic or illogic the same way that he did around flat eartherism. He like runs that back and becomes the patron saint of vaccine hesitancy that begets vaccination, and everyone thrives because of it. Let's paint a happy picture at the end of this.
So Kyrie Irving is going to have this. There's going to be a tidal wave of vaccinations because of Kyrie, right?
I would like to hope. I would like to hope. That's me. I'm an optimistic guy, Mike. You know, call me crazy.
One more small thing before we go.
Okay.
And then for everyone, we're just going to tack on the whole other conversation.
This is
going to
be a 90-minute episode, by the way, Mike, just so you're ready for it.
Let's just live in a world where Kyrie's not playing, right? So in the preseason game, the starting lineup was Bruce Brown, Joe Harris, KD, Blake, and James Harden. Is that it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had talked about sort of later in the episode, like, that's probably the lineup going forward. And we don't have to, like, do lineup machinations. The two people, though, that this affects the most, maybe three, Cam Thomas, Patty Mills, and then the third maybe is Javon Carter, just because you're going and looking at all guards. I think Patty Mills is going to play the same amount of minutes. Like, I think ultimately they brought him here and be like, hey, you're going to be a 20-minute-a-game guy. You're kind of, you know, you're more on the downside of your career. We want to preserve you. We want you to be the big shot maker at the end of games. We're not going to play you that much. Like, you know, he's not going to play 35 minutes a game, I don't think. Javon Carter, I like him, and I think he's going to play, and I think he'll play more. But it's Cam Thomas who, if Kyrie doesn't play,
stands to benefit quite a bit.
Cam's going to be getting like a lot of second team run. That's kind of an exciting thing. Look at the positive. Like, you know, we had talked about that, like, Cam barely played a part. Like, he like disappeared during the preseason game and then came back at the end. You know, we're going to get a lot more Cam Thomas. And thank God they drafted him because the reason why they lost to the Bucks last year is because they had Mike James playing the position that Cam Thomas is going to be playing.
You're gonna throw that all on Mike James?
Mike Jimmy? Mike Jimmy was not worthy of being in that spot.
You know, Taylor Johnson still doesn't have a job, you know. Where's he? Where's he going to go?
Stop it. Don't ruin the spot. Don't ruin it. Please don't. If I see Tyler Johnson show up, I'm
going
to lose.
He's going on the thumbnail. It's going to be a Tyler Johnson.
He was okay.
His name's going on the YouTube title.
But that's that SEO baby. Yeah. I'm, by the way, I'm on Kyrie Irving's Instagram page, just like waiting for his story to get updated and him to be like,
everybody's a puppet. You're a puppet. You're a puppet. You're a puppet. Yeah.
But like from the idea that they're going to develop Cam Thomas and like he was going to be nurtured along the way. Now it's going to be, hey, Cam, you're playing 25 minutes and you're going to carry the second unit at times. And you really matter. But that's it. I think, you know, is there anything else we should say? I mean, we'll probably talk about this 1,000 times more.
Yeah.
If there's any developments, we'll do a quick little mini
thing. Emergent. Well, it'll be an emergent pod. I might split this up into 2 YouTubes. I think that's probably what I'll do, but we'll talk about it. Let's get out of here first.
All right. So what we're going to take a quick break and then coming back, you're going to hear a conversation about last night's preseason game. So everything after this point will, there's actually a lot of good Kyrie Irving conversation. We have a manufactured tension convo about whether the Nets should trade Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that still maintains a lot of what's in that, the thoughts and the ideas. If anything, it increases my side of the argument that they probably should trade for Ben Simmons. Thank you all for listening. And there'll be a lot more Glue Guys coming up right after the break. Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike, your Salo Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, netsdaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall, theathletic.com. Brian.
Michael.
The Nets are back. How you feeling, buddy?
Oh, good. Good.
We're a week away. Just a week.
We streamed the game last night on Twitch. Had a blast. Fun times. Good, you know, for the first 5 minutes or so. And then, you know.
People are really down on the game.
And then despaired. It was pure despair. People
are really like, this team is a disaster. It's a debacle right now. Like,
Who's
happening?
Like, it's quote your sources.
One person on Twitter. You know, I extrapolate it wasn't a great preseason game.
And look at that. Even you're dropping the ball in preseason. Look, we all got to shake the rust off.
So discombobulated. Yeah. And before we go any further in the show, I just want to simply say this podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. To learn more at directtv.com.
Good.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So we're not going to do a full game review, obviously. We're not masochists? Would that be the correct word?
Yeah.
But the one moment I like to really pinpoint, and this was the purest of delights for me.
Oh, you got a tick.
Second quarter, Kevin Durant's on the floor with Cam Thomas.
Yeah.
Cam Thomas brings up the ball, pull up three, doesn't even look Kevin Durant's way, and he hits it. And it's like, that's what I've been waiting. I've been waiting all from the moment they drafted Cam Thomas. And then we saw him in this summer league and just totally disregard Brandon Knight. I've been waiting for the moment when he's on the floor with KD and he disregards Kevin Durant, but yet hits the shot. And I got it. I'm satiated. I don't need to watch basketball anymore for the rest of the year.
We talked about this a little while it was happening on the stream, everyone was clamoring for like, where is Cam Thomas now that it's, you know, it was third and fourth quarters are like, this is not nearly enough Cam Thomas. And I took this as 2 things. It's like, this is an acknowledgement of like, guys, don't get used to seeing a ton of Cam Thomas in rotation, regular rotation minutes. And 2, like that may have been slightly like, hey, Cam, like, dude, this is not an outcomes oriented business right now. We're in process mode and your process is a little hinky. We gotta get this together.
Are
a little
you
bit.
Purposefully saying process and Sam Hinky because
wow,
that
might have been just an actual like subconscious. Yeah. Could have been a
Freudian basketball.
Truly. But like, because and it goes, the shot goes in, which is Cam Thomas's biggest problem, right? This is right now his biggest problem because like he is making all of these like really difficult and, you know, shots that come out of broken plays that he himself sort of like is a participant in breaking in a lot of ways. Yeah, and like, so the outcome is great. And the problem is that it's an outcome born from like a problem that he himself invents. And like what we are as a championship team is a team that's going to be really about, you know, like building a whole ethos around how to set up a play, how to set up an offense. And that dude does not seem to want to get that at the moment.
No, there was a little, this is not even manufactured attention. There was, in the second half, I did see a little bit of an evolution. There was some passing.
I think I saw some too. He had one little like dime to Millsap that was slick.
That I'm extrapolating as like he learned his lesson.
Yeah, right.
Now he had an embarrassing, he had two straight turnovers that were like completely embarrassing. I think it was third quarter. I forget when I was watching it, but that like he just had his pocket was picked. Brian, it was picked clean twice on two straight possessions, which is a little disorienting. And he was on the floor with James Harden at that point, and Harden was. I don't know if this was like, I don't know how targeted this was, but Harden was standing in the corner, like in the shooter spot for three, just like letting Cam bring up the ball, letting him get his pocket picked twice, and then James Harden was like, okay, now I'm going to bring up the ball. Like, that was fun, Cam. I'm glad we shared the court together. But I'm going to play basketball now, and you're going to kind of watch me play basketball. Yeah,
which, by the way, James himself looked a little rusty, Michael. Yeah,
people are – but, like, and then
it's fine.
To do this thing, I know he had five turnovers. But then if you look at his other stats, 21 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 8 for 14 from the floor. He just didn't go to the line. Like, if he went to the line, he would have a 30-point game. He had two free throws. The Cam Thomas of it all,
I mean with like the outcome, right? Like it's like if you're playing poker 100%. And you like make stupid bets and sometimes you win, like that's not generally seen as good as playing it well, you know?
Right. Like if you're waiting on the river for everything and you happen to hit a couple of rivers and you're like, this is the way you play
this
poker.
This is the way you play. Right. Exactly.
The riverboat gambler, Cam Thomas.
Right. Exactly. Ooh, okay.
Louisiana. But not only did Nash do this with Cam Thomas, like he put him on the floor with Kevin Durant, because I mean, we're going to see that in the regular season. And as you said to the people on Twitch, it's like, it's not like we're going to see this like 30 minutes a game. You're going to see it at various points, and he's going to be brought along slowly at some level, unless if Kyrie Irving like truly disappears, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He also did it with David Duke Jr. David Duke Jr. was on the floor, I think, with Harden at points. There was like a David Duke, Harden, Joe Harris, Paul Millsap, James Johnson lineup that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like that Nash was like, hey, it's a preseason game. Some of our starters are playing besides Kyrie Irving. Let's see how like the young guys play with those guys, because we're going to have to see if they're valuable. I mean, it's a pretty big... David Duke did not shoot the ball in his 11 minutes of play, but he did play with James Harden. And that maybe portends a role in the future. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
There was a starting lineup
for
this game, as there is for every game.
Good.
The starting lineup for this game that did not include Kyrie Irving was Kevin Durant, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, James Harden, and Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's the starting lineup without Kyrie, whether it's we have Kyrie for half the season or whether the Nets are like, hey, Kyrie, you're just going to stay home? Does that feel like the lineup that Nash is going to trot out there probably the most?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, like probably the most is an interesting way of putting it, because like last night, LaMarcus Aldridge and Nick Claxton were DNP'd. Or at least Claxton had like a non-COVID illness or something. Anyways, I feel like LaMarcus
is like funny now.
Yeah,
and they're always like, he's sick, not COVID,
not COVID,
not. Hey guys, everyone,
don't get crazy.
Just say if someone on this team gets COVID that isn't Kyrie Irving, and like everyone's just going to blame Kyrie, even though if he doesn't have it,
there
like,
it is.
Just going to be the center of all diseases.
Perfect. To add more to it. Anyways, but like it was a problem from the start that like we didn't have anyone to defend Joel Embiid. He just like rolled out of bed and dropped, you know, 15 points, whatever, in the first quarter. It's like, all right, well, you know, obviously Blake Griffin shouldn't be tasked with this much longer.
Don't you feel bad for Blake? It's a preseason game on ESPN2, and he has to be like, I have to guard Joel Embiid. Like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't know if Joel Embiid's going to try to, like, make a point out of this pointless game. I felt bad for Blake in that moment.
Yeah, I guess he did. I guess he took that to heart.
8 minutes, Embiid had 14 points.
Right.
And three assists.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible.
So he had a good first quarter. So like in that very specific instance, I maybe would have been a quick pull for Claxton or LaMarcus or somebody doing something there. But in general, yeah. I mean, I think Bruce Brown, if that's like the one kind of like the lone piece that you swap in or out for Kyrie Irving, as the complimentary player, is fun, makes sense. I like it. I like it as a radically different look. I like it as basically now James Harden does his natural, you know, leading the offense thing, as he mostly did anyways when Kyrie was in there, except, you know, obviously there's a whole lot of difference between what Bruce Brown does and Kyrie does. But yeah, I mean, in general, I think that's probably the lineup we're going to roll out with.
Yeah, and I think it's also the situation where, like, so you could put Patty Mills in for Bruce Brown, right? So you have another shooter on the floor, but then you're obviously Patty Mills is not as good at defense and does, like, plays a completely different style of basketball than Patty Mills. And I think, like, the idea with Mills is that he's just going to be sort of the six-man bench scorer playing in that second unit, helping the bench unit with whether it's Harden or KD. He's just going to be with one of those two guys on the bench units. And like the Nets are really going to try to expand leads by having Patty Mills plus KD James Harden on the floor for bench units. I guess Javon Carter is really trying to make a statement.
He's doing it.
He's doing the Javon Carter thing where he picks up guys like three quarters of the way up the court. He shot 16 shots last night, 4 for 7 from three. He shot really well from three previously so far in the preseason. And frankly, like he was as good of a 3-point shooter, at least percentage wise, that Landry Shamet was, but he's also a much better like defender.
I'll say this, what's missing from Javon Carter, and this might be small sample size theater, is, you know, having watched a lot of Kyrie Irving and him being like just maybe the best point guard finisher in basketball. Yeah. You can see that there's not a whole lot of confidence in finishing with contact from Javon Carter.
Yeah, and this is that situation where they like we call him Javon Carter a point guard, mm-hmm. and then like so the classically we think of a point guard as a guy who can handle the ball really well, get to the hoop, and maybe get fouled, right? Mm-hmm. Like Javon Carter's just kind of like a short, kind of like Bruce Brown.
He's more
a
Bruce
short
Brown,
power forward, but he in fact can shoot threes where Bruce Brown is still evolving.
He's like, right? Where like, Bruce Brown should be in like 3 years. That's where like Bruce Brown should evolve too. But
Bruce Brown should be better, I think.
And Bruce Brown, it would be better because he's a better finisher. Like he's already got better instincts for off ball stuff and all kinds of things like that.
Can I ask you, what have you thought about James Johnson? We got 19 minutes of James Johnson in this game. I'm kind of in the middle zone with him because like, I love his bench celebrations. Like he was super into it in the Bucks Nets preseason game. Like he was celebrating every bucket at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really good story in ESPN about how like the entire team, when they were out in San Diego, they went to Joe Tsai's palatial Pacific estate in San Diego. And they had like, they played cornhole and, oh, are you talking?
I was saying palatial Pacific estate. It was just a nice, that was beautiful.
But you weren't saying the words, right?
No,
you
it was just mouthing it. Yeah.
Palatial Pacific estate.
Yeah, beautiful.
And how Harden was like, we kind of have a quiet group this year and we need to do more things like this to kind of get the energy out. And I agree. Like we had talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of worried a little bit about, it's like so many veterans that like, it, is there going to be, it, every? It just feels like everyone's kind of punching that clock, you know, getting in, opening up their briefcase. They've got the Rubbermaid,
right?
Pop it open, the Rubbermaid. There's some celery in there because their wife's worried about their heart condition recently. But you know, there's also a little snack, within the lunch that they made. You know, like a little, and everyone's kind of like to themselves, and you know, maybe they'll gather around the water cooler to talk about the latest episode of Succession.
Yeah,
but Succession. But beyond that, it's really a It's just a professional vibe. The Christmas party won't be that lit this year because it's just a bunch of 45-year-old dads
that get around together and they're talking about who's got a good CPA they could use. They're just like, who's your CPA? Hey,
Did you refi this year?
Yeah.
Interest rates are low.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the conversations that they're having.
Yeah.
And I miss the Theo Pinson vibe. And I think James Johnson, to bring it back, he has good energy. And I think this matters. He has good energy on the sidelines. Daron Sharp has excellent energy. And another North Carolina grad, they must teach that. It must be one of the actual few courses that they teach in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more from Kessler Edwards. But
You're not going to get it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it. Yeah. On the court, I don't know how I feel about James Johnson totally. I think we need more games.
Yeah, veteran preseason. I mean, we always forget this as fans, just the level of enthusiasm we have for wanting to see things faster and unveil faster. And like, I feel like guys like Millsap in their late 30s, having played a lifetime of basketball, are just like, I'm not going to get excited for preseason. I'm not going to work hard. It's just not going to happen. Like, we're not playing regular season, even regular season basketball game, which itself is something that I probably will mail in. Like, it's just, we're mailing in the mail in. It's so far removed from a priority. So I really try not to read too much into it, especially for guys with like incredibly long careers and proven track records and stuff like that. I mean, like James Johnson's like track record it's a worthwhile question because like his track record isn't super great or whatever, or he's just like a normal veteran. But like, I will say that like, you're right in that he's just really not looking for his shot at the moment. I don't know what his shot is to look for. So
he doesn't have like Jeff Green had a defined, right. I shoot threes or I dunk.
Yeah.
And like James Johnson, I know we're kind of told that he can shoot a little bit and then also he can handle the ball and distribute on some level. It's just like, I'm just interested to see where he goes. And we have this log jam of big men, Nick Claxton, Aldridge, Blake, James Johnson. James Johnson's more of like a wingy guy.
Yeah.
In
the Bucks game, he had a couple of plays that were like, oh, like, there you go. Like, here's your bucket.
Yeah. And I'm excited about him.
Yeah.
I'm excited about his energy.
I think it'll be fine. But you're right, though, that like there is like going to be a dearth of energetic people. Cam Thomas himself seems too like laser focused on like cracking the rotation to be interesting, like off the court, or like, you know, like enthusiastic. He's just like, I just so want to play right now. I don't talk to
him. He doesn't even care when he hits game winners.
Yeah.
He has no emotion about it.
Yeah. And I like that as like just an arc for the season, like a narrative arc. Like it also like, I do want some resistance there just so that we have something to talk about during the regular season, because that feels like in the fandom going to be a source of tension for people, which, you know, in a regular season, like by February, I think like when we're just sort of, I don't even want to get into it, but if like the Kyrie Irving drama is the only thing to talk about, it's going to suck so bad. It already sucks. I'm so exhausted by it. Yeah.
I do think, and we'll get to, we have a great segment coming up, manufactured tension. Brian and I are going to each take a different side of a debate. That's what manufactured tension is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be pro trading for Ben Simmons and trading away Kyrie Irving to get Ben Simmons, and you're gonna defend your boy, Irving.
True boy.
I do think this, like, I don't know. Is this dumb to say that the vaccine conversation is gonna die down a little bit when there's actual games being played? Because right now there's nothing. The only thing that people talk about in the NBA are Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving's lack of vaccination. That's it. And once games are being played, then we can talk about, have you seen De'Aaron Fox this year? You know, like, you have all those Luka Doncic, MVP.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get maybe a reprieve a bit. But then if Kyrie, like, did you see Nash's quote last night?
I think I did.
If you're where they asked him, yeah. They asked him basically like, hey, Steve, you know, what are you thinking? You know, Kyrie can now obviously practice with the team. But there's a question up in the air, like, he can't play home games. He technically could play road games. What do you think? And he says, we're just trying to take our time to figure out what everything means. And it's like, oh my God. Like, I feel bad for Nash.
Yeah.
The thing is, they had to have had a conversation already with Kyrie Irving to say whether, hey man, if you don't get it, you're not playing, or to say to him, you're getting it. I think I saw, I don't know if you saw this, Frank Isola had said on his SiriusXM show that the Nets had and I apologize if this is incorrect, but that the Nets had made a vaccine appointment for Kyrie that Kyrie said he was going to go to, and then he just didn't.
That's a hot tip, Frank. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I saw. So again, this is a tweet of someone aggregating what okay. Frank Isola said on SiriusXM. So like, it could be completely
wrong. It comes from the top.
Yeah. But that would line up with how Sean Marks had been talking about Kyrie Irving's vaccination status up until a week ago, right? Because he'd been acting kind of confident that he was going to get it. Even James Harden and KD were like basically hinting that, yeah, Kyrie's going to get it. And then it seems like something has shifted and it's gone to a place where like the Nets are now, and it's been reported that the Nets really have no clue what's happening with, you know, whether Kyrie will in fact get it. And it would make sense that they had an appointment for him and he was eventually like, I'm not going to do that. Which is super. Hey, it's super great. What a great time to be a fan.
Did you see the Woj thing that elite aggregation expert Alex Sturm was passed around?
A lot of people picking up on that. That was so great.
He crushed that one. And I watched that thing live, and it was on the ESPN2 feed of, and Woj was talking about it. And I really felt like Woj, and I mean, this is just my read on it, Woj was tasked with filling up a whole lot of dead air about a thing that isn't very interesting, which is like, is Kyrie going to get vaccinated? And my sense of it was like, I don't think that was like, so anyways, the reporting was that like, Sean Marks and like Kevin Durant and James Harden were all going to like make a decision about Kyrie Irving, and like Josiah or something. And I think what he just meant to be saying was that, like, you know, all of the people that are like in decision-making positions, plus also, you know, they'll like the players will weigh in themselves, are going to obviously think about what to do here, which isn't like a hot take. There's nothing there, but it made it sound like there's going to be like a tribunal of which like Kevin Durant and James Harden are going to be like primary decision makers, which, you know, it's possible. I don't know. That seems kind of weird to me. It just felt more like he was trying to fill up some dead air on a national broadcast.
I don't know. I mean, Woj is like pretty.
I get it. I know what it's, but like, it sounded more formal than I think people took it to mean something more formal than how he was trying to communicate it.
Sure. Yeah. And our boy Alec, he got
it passed around.
He got it passed around. And as I'm going through his tweets, because that got like a 1,300 retweets, and like people like Desus and Mero, I think, were retweeting it. And there were a bunch of like big name people. He had another tweet. Like, this is why I love Twitter. He said, James Harden's continued refusal to take catch and shoot threes is weird. And that got, it got 1,100 likes. And I'm like, this is, I love Twitter. I love Nets Twitter specifically. Yeah. Like, people really appreciate that type of tweet. You know, it's excellent.
True that.
So let's just take a quick break. Coming back, we are going to do manufacturer tension. We're going to have the conversation of whether the Nets should in fact trade Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons. Coming back after the break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, Brian.
Okay.
So this is our new segment, and this is my fault. We were planning to have a drop in the business, a drop. It's a, you know, it's a music cue that would let you know that, hey, we're entering manufacturer tension. It used to be something we used to do a lot more often, but we don't do it as much.
We're going to bring it back though, Mike. We have the tech.
So manufacturer tension, this is a new segment. Brian and I agree too much.
It's been a problem. It's been a problem. I'm going to say right now, that's been a problem for us, Mike. Okay.
I agree with you. No, just kidding. Sorry. Such an idiot. And I think we've noticed that it seems like people like debate and disagreement. It seems to be a pattern that is successful.
Yeah.
In media. And you and I are followers of trends.
Coastal media.
That's why we're on TikTok.
Puppets, even, I would say, potentially.
Yeah, we're really puppets. Yeah, we're pawns. Kyrie.
Pawn puppets.
So this is kind of a joke, but we're doing manufactured tension, Ben Simmons versus Kyrie Irving. I'll set the stage a bit before we dive into our roles.
Okay.
As screwed up and as weird as the Kyrie Irving situation is, and I guess I shouldn't even call it like screwed up and weird. Like there are plenty, as much as I disagree with people not wanting to take the vaccine and, you know, them saying it's a personal decision, even though it affects, by not taking the vaccine, you're affecting everyone around you and everyone you meet and come in contact with. And you're actually affecting then a butterfly effect of people that you will never meet, but you are passing along, you know, a disease potentially. I shouldn't say it's weird because there are people that don't want to take the vaccine. The Ben Simmons situation is straight up weird. Mm-hmm. We got reporting from Woj during the day yesterday that Ben Simmons was going to return to Philadelphia at some point this week. What happened was during the game last night or right before the game, Ben Simmons like showed up to some door at the practice facility or the arena calling the Sixers and saying, hey, I need to be let in because I need to be taking my COVID test. They had no clue he was flying in. They were completely surprised by the fact that Ben Simmons suddenly showed up. And we're probably going to get more information about this like immediately after we record the show. But they have no clue what he's going to be like being on the team. They don't know if he's going to play or if he's just showing up to get his money and then he's going to fake an injury. There's so many different possibilities. Mm-hmm. But we sit here and we've heard plenty of conversation about Kyrie Irving and whether or not the Nets would in fact trade Kyrie. And for the process of this episode, let's just assume that things get so bad that the Nets begin thinking maybe we need to look around for Kyrie. And as per Nick Wright has reported, as we've talked about before, that Kyrie Irving has put out there that he will retire if he's traded, right? And other people have kind of said that too. League insiders believe, and I think that's really the best way to classify it, it's that league insiders, basically team executives, assume that Kyrie will just retire if he's traded from the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we gotta work with the chips that we got. The Sixers want to get rid of Ben Simmons. They're getting no packages that are worth it. And the Nets have an interesting situation with Kyrie Irving. And plenty of people have brought up, hey, swap one for the other. Kyrie Irving goes to Philly, which is still very close to New Jersey, where he's from. And Ben Simmons moves up to Brooklyn, and everyone is happy. Now, Brian, tell the people what side you're going to be on.
I'll be representing the camp of do not trade Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons. That's where I am. And luckily, that's how I actually feel. Or is it? Who knows? How can you know? You'll never know.
You'll never know.
But I'll defend it to the death, Mike. I'm not going to move off this point.
And the weapon I will be picking up, the nice mace, pointy,
ooh,
spiky mace, is Ben Simmons.
He is a mace, yeah.
I will advocate for Ben Simmons to Brooklyn.
Because maces are flawed, Mike. That's the problem with a mace. They're heavy, and they're not spiky enough. Not nearly.
Yeah. Flat
taste.
Like, I feel like I could get hit by a mace. I could survive.
Yeah.
Just depends on where you're hit.
Depends where, yeah. Yeah.
A sword.
You don't want to, I mean, it's sort of the same idea. It depends where you get hit with the sword, right? Get hit with the foot, you might be okay.
If it was a samurai sword from Kill Bill, that thing's cutting me in half.
You want to avoid the neck and the head.
A mace isn't cutting you in half.
Yeah.
You need a headshot to really get
the
mace.
Fair enough.
And even then, who knows?
Yeah.
I have a thick skull.
Could really take a punch.
Smelches are known to have thick skulls.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah.
You ever been in a fight, Mike? Just before we derail?
All the time.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. Good. With myself.
Yeah, good. Perfect.
I'm Ed Norton in Fight Club.
Got it.
Okay. I will let you start off. Brian, why do you think Kyrie Irving should be on the Nets?
So just to contextualize this argument, I want to make sure that we're operating from the same place. Like we're talking about today, right? With the information that we have in hand, what do we know going into this season? Well, right. The point is one first point. We don't know enough to know anything about the Kyrie Irving situation, both in the local ordinance municipality POV. Who knows?
How dare you take my word? That is my word. And you know, this is, I'm going to argue with
Michael,
local ordinances.
Michael, this is my ordinance. Brian, this is my word. Yeah.
This is my, that's my word. And you're already,
this
you're
is too manufactured.
Such
this
dishonor.
Is, this is too manufactured. You can't fight me on every point. We don't know what's going to happen, both from the legal perspective or from even Kyrie's own, like as you say yourself, Frank Isola from the top reported, got very good information that it's incredibly likely that it's incredibly likely that he had an appointment. So he had agreed to an appointment and then didn't end up getting it. But the idea that he said yes to the appointment, there's
haven't
some
we all done
suggest-
that? Haven't we all said, oh, I'm going to show up and get my teeth cleaned and not show up to the dentist's office?
But what
haven't
you-
we done that?
I've never done
Who
that.
Who are we?
I've never made an appointment to the dentist and just no-showed them. Have you? I've never done that. That's cruel.
Yeah, but my
That's
dentist what- is my stepfather.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's a whole other set
if
of issues
did-
going on. You're not my father. Except my stepbrother definitely listens to this show, so I love you.
That's a good joke, though. That's good.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to structure it that way. First point is we don't have enough information to trade Kyrie Irving at all yet because he could get a vaccination at any time. Point two, he is so much better than Ben Simmons. It is not even close to comparable on that level. Ben Simmons is a flawed basketball player. He is tall Bruce Brown. It's... You know, it goes without saying that Kyrie Irving is just a more effective weapon in a million ways. I don't want to hear about the defense thing with Ben Simmons. It is like great.
You're going to hear about just to let you know, you're going to hear about the defense. I'm being respectful right now, but you're going to hear about the defense. OK,
fine. I'll hear about that. Point three I'll throw out there. Point three. Simmons is a worse kind of unpredictable in terms of where he's at mentally in his interest in the game.
No, absolutely not.
He is,
no, there's no, I'm not going to even allow you to continue this argument.
He is playing, he's doing the same thing with less.
Stuttering Joe Biden over there.
with even less, like terra firma to work with, because basically all we know about Ben Simmons is that he was a little bit upset that he got criticism from his coach and the other star player in his team about how badly he sucked in the playoffs. That was enough for him to like go in full exile mode and blow the whole thing up. That is, that's a problem in two ways. One, you did actually suck during the playoffs, right? That actually happened. You sucked. And then two, you couldn't just take it on the chin. You couldn't wear that failure. You had to go be a little, you know, butthurt weirdo about it and go to L.A. and pretend
no
to
way.
Get
no,
traded
no, no.
when you weren't.
There's
when,
absolutely no way you can argue that Ben Simmons's like entire situation is more difficult to deal with than Kyrie Irving. Again, Nets pod here. Love Kyrie Irving. He's a better player than Ben Simmons. I will concede that point.
Okay, point one. We're off to a good start.
Kyrie may not play at the best case scenario right now in this moment that we're living in. Like you talked about, these are your ground rules. So I'm living in your box. Okay, you built a box. I jumped in.
Get in my box.
I have a little blanket. I'm living in your box. Okay,
it's a rat's nest in here, Mike. You're gonna need more than a blanket. You're gonna bring
Indiana Jones. It's the snake pit.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a trap.
I hate snakes. Here's the thing. Best case scenario, Kyrie Irving doesn't play in half of the home games, both in the regular season and the postseason. That's the current set of rules that we're living in right now. Ben Simmons, from all we're being told, will actually play basketball games if he's traded to anywhere except for Philadelphia. He is so desperate to get out of Philadelphia, he'll play in Sacramento. Have you been to Sacramento, Brian?
Never.
All they have is hot air balloons. That's all they've got.
What are
they?
Hot air balloons?
Big hot air balloon city.
That's true.
That's a it's
is
a,
that a
big
thing?
Hot air balloon city. Yeah, they really value their hot air balloons.
He
is, and that's how desperate. This is a guy. I don't think he still did. He dated a Jenner, the Kardashian extended. So he's a man who likes the glamour and the glitz, and yet he's willing
that's a
to
point
go
for
to
you. That sounds
Sacramento.
Bad to me.
Yeah. He's willing right. to. This is in his soul. He wants to be famous and be a like a LeBron level basketball player, and yet he's willing to. Go to Sacramento, to get away from Philadelphia.
That sounds like a person who's deranged. His expectations versus reality. It's like, I want to be famous in Sacramento.
Kyrie's situation, again, is so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets completely have no understanding. Talk about Steve Nash's quote last night, where he was like, I don't know what the situation is right now. They don't know. And Kevin Durant and James Harden, to focus back on them. So I think they are the first wall for Kyrie. They're protecting him on some level, right? Where they're like, hey, we don't even ask him about it. It's just not a thing we talk about. You know, Kyrie will be there. We want him to be here, but we don't even really talk to him about it. Do you remember how dedicated James Harden was to trying to win a championship? He played on one leg in a playoff series to try to push this team past the second round, past the Milwaukee Bucks, to get him to a place where maybe then KD could continue to carry the team. He could be healthier, and then they win a championship together. James Harden was so desperate. He is so desperate to win a championship. And he's always been a guy in his career who he wants to bring in Chris Paul. He didn't feel like Chris Paul could really help him win that championship, so he got him out of town, brings in Russell Westbrook to Houston, thought Russell Westbrook would work, didn't work. He pushes him out of town. He pushes himself out of Houston to go to Brooklyn. He made things very uncomfortable because he wants to go to play in Brooklyn, which is where he's at, to win a championship. I don't know how much longer that those two guys are going to be super chill bros about the Kyrie Irving situation, getting asked about it every day. Every city they go to, that's going to be the question that they're going to be asked about. You can already see Steve Nash is getting annoyed sort of answering these Kyrie questions. Steve Nash is a saint. So the situations, what the Nets are dealing with,
mm-hmm.
is more annoying than if Ben Simmons is traded. Like, if Ben Simmons is traded to another team, I think he's going to be a choir boy. He's going to be so happy that he's somewhere else. That immediately all those Ben Simmons issues, in the same way that Harden had his issues in Houston, traded to Brooklyn. We all love James Harden now. He's everyone's favorite basketball player.
Let me just address one of your points there. So you're looking at this from the perspective of James Harden. And James Harden, to your point, is ravenous for a championship. He is frothing at the mouth. Yes. And he has a team with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, both guys with clutch credentials out the wazoo, championship experience. And you're trying to tell me that he would be in favor of trading one of those guys for the player with the most public and humiliating playoff implosion in recent NBA history, that's going to be the swap that makes James Harden feel pretty comfortable about going into the postseason. I feel like James Harden might veto this on its face. He himself, it might not get through even James Harden, non-GM, to get into the war room and to negotiate this thing.
I think James Harden's smart enough to realize that any amount of Ben Simmons is better than no Kyrie. The Nets may not have Kyrie. So let me ask you this, okay? Do you think the Nets should strategically become the fifth seed so that they have more road games in the playoffs than home games? So they get more, like, is that the world that you want? Because obviously if they're the one or two seed, more home games, less Kyrie.
Mm.
So you want them to tank part of the regular season just so they can keep Kyrie. Is that what you're telling me? That seems like what you're telling me.
What I'm trying to tell you is that we don't have enough information. And also, can I say this one thing before we go any further? Respect all of our HIPAAs. Can you respect our HIPAA going forward? if you would. We don't know. We don't know. And if he really starts stacking DNPs for home games going into the season, I feel like the likelihood that he gets the vaccine increases with each DNP. You can tell me squinting.
You know that. I don't think you know that. I will admit,
because
I'm
making a point that I don't myself agree with. That's what that faces.
I do think it's a possibility that Eric Adams, the Brooklyn Borough president, who would probably be mayor. I'm pretty sure he's going to be mayor unless there's something totally crazy happens. That they do lift the ordinance in some way or make an exemption, not just for Kyrie Irving, but like in general, they make an exemption for performers. Because I wouldn't even say athletes, but like they may do something around performance and Broadway, and I don't know. And I think it's just possible that, and hopefully, Merck Merck has a COVID pill that they're asking for authorization for. Do you know you have to take, like, I was reading it, you have to take eight pills a day over 10 days for this Merck COVID pill.
Okay.
Wouldn't you rather just get the vaccine? Like, that's, again, it's a thing of, like, you know, the Merck pill is to help you if you get COVID, vaccine, non-vaccine. Obviously, much higher chance. Just get a vaccine. Would you rather take, like, if you're so afraid of science?
Yeah, I just can't pretend to. I've taken enough pills that have blasted me off to space that I just don't see the difference between a pill and a vaccine. Because I love to party. But I'm just saying, I don't know totally what the difference is. But, you know, I don't want to cast any doubt. Just go get either of them. If one of them works, whatever.
Yeah, please. Okay, let me just do a quick rundown of why Ben Simmons is better for the Nets than Kyrie Irving. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about sort of Kyrie is a distraction. Regardless of how we all feel about Kyrie Irving, whether we support him, love him, or think he's, you know, sending the wrong message to America, he is a distraction. And it has the potential to destroy the team. It does. Okay? It can implode. It can force James Harden to be on one side and Kevin Durant on the other and make people pick sides and whatever. It could be bad. If Ben Simmons is brought in, there would be a honeymoon period with him that for at least 1 year – it would work out well. At least 1 year. Okay. Defense. This team lacks a defender on the level of a Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is the perfect defender for how the Nets play defense. They switch everything. So Ben Simmons, all those times that we watched DeAndre Jordan kind of half switch onto a ball handler, but really drop back into the paint. Imagine that's a ferocious Australian 6'11 Ben Simmons attacking that ball handler and then also then switching back and blocking shots at the rim, running all over the court, D'ing up LeBron, Anthony Davis. He has the versatility to guard every single player, probably except Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, that the Nets may have to face in the playoffs and in the finals. He can guard, potentially, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Ben Simmons brings that. Kyrie Irving does not bring that. Here's a closing lineup with Ben Simmons. Harden, Joe Harris, KD, Patty Mills, and Ben Simmons. Four elite shooters and Ben Simmons as the center.
That was perfect. That was four elite shooters and Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons. The perfect lineup for well Ben said. Simmons and the Nets. So you have rim protection with KD on defense too, but you have Ben Simmons operating as a switchable defending five, essentially. You can switch across. Obviously, Patty Mills is a little weak on defense, but you have him out there for shooting. You can sub out Patty Mills and put in, you know, a bigger, like Paul Millsap, and make it a bigger lineup, or Blake Griffin. That closing lineup, yeah, it doesn't have the heights of Kyrie, KD, and James Harden in terms of offense, but defense, much more reliable and much harder to penetrate than the offense. And finally, last point.
Great.
Okay. LeBron James. Okay, I think LeBron has one more destination in him in his career. Okay, LeBron has been a vagabond.
Okay,
in the NBA, he's played at home in Cleveland, played in Miami, back to Cleveland, now in LA.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron thinks globally. Okay, think about it. He played home. He played in you know,
big markets,
big markets, Miami, LA. He's missing New York. Okay, Ben Simmons is a clutch client. LeBron used to have a great relationship with Kevin Durant. LeBron has typically hated the Knicks for many, many years. He loves the Garden, but has hated the Knicks. Now his former agent basically runs the team, but hey, LeBron has 2 years left on his contract. Bronny James graduates from high school in that time.
Wow, this is getting out
there. So LeBron at the end of his contract won't be as wed to Los Angeles. I know he has other kids, won't be as wed to Los Angeles, because Bronny will have graduated from Sierra Canyon High School. The Nets win the next two championships with Ben Simmons, James Harden, Kevin Durant, and LeBron joins the Nets as a super sub off the bench to join his client, Ben Simmons, and they win the next three championships. LeBron passes Jordan, and he becomes the official greatest player of all time.
How old is LeBron at this point?
45.
Yeah, okay. This is how far you have to reach to make a cogent Ben Simmons trade, is that it leads to a 45-year-old LeBron James somewhere down the line.
You tell me you don't want to see
No, LeBron I don't want to see that. No. I mean, No.
Stop it.
Authentically, no.
You used to get excited about Sean Kilpatrick, and you're telling me you say no to LeBron.
I still get excited about Sean Kilpatrick. Yeah, there's a lot in there that I disagree with, obviously. You know, the idea that we want to trade away parts of the NBA's historically most efficient offense ever in history to get marginally better at defense and have basically an offensive liability, a guy who you can play hack-a-shack with, who, like, has legitimate, you know, take everything you dislike about Joe Harris, and you've been a staunch Joe Harris criticizer, let's say, for his off-season performances. Mike, this is good. You're getting roasted here. This is, you're getting roasted and toasted. And then multiply that by a factor of, I don't know, 10 at least, at minimum, probably more like 10,000, with regards to the diminishing returns of Ben Simmons in the playoffs. He is targeted on offense. Everybody wants him to have the ball because they know that he's such a liability.
But the good thing about offense is that he doesn't like, you can't force a guy to have the ball.
Yes. Okay. You're playing 4-on-5 at that point. And
yeah, he just sits near the hoop. Just great. Waits by the hoop for the ball.
You said it perfectly. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there.
Yeah. And on defense, he's locking down the other team. Here's the thing that we didn't talk about. And this is for your side. Okay. Let's just say Kyrie Irving is traded and he doesn't retire. Okay. Him with Joel Embiid would be,
yeah, it'd be sick.
Yeah. It'd be amazing. The Sixers would be better.
There it is.
Yeah. So that's kind of why you don't do it. That's the end of, so manufacturer tension will always come back to a point of like, one of us will admit we're wrong. And well, Brian's wrong.
Well, it's no, always man. Like the thing is, we're, you know, at our hearts, we're not grifters. You know, we really believe what we say on this show. Okay, Mike, we've never. And so, like, when we go into the manufactured tense, we will probably invariably have to reveal our true thoughts because that's the way we are. But that was fun.
Kyrie is exercise. A much better player.
I feel like we should formulate it more strictly. Like, we should do like a proper structured debate. Like, do each point individually. Like, more like drill down. I don't know. We could. Yeah, that was good. No, exercise.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I didn't do debate. Did you do debate bros?
No.
Were you one of the? I was a math wizard.
What was, were you? Was the I didn't know that about you.
Elementary school, no, not I, a. I got aged out of it.
No, I watched TV after school. That's what I did. That's I went sweet. Home and watched.
Latchkey
yeah.
kid.
Yeah.
I hate that term so much. It's so lame.
What is it? I don't even know.
A latchkey kid.
See, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a kid who is basically his parents. They're like the parents were working, and you would just like go home and
right.
open the door. And,
there it is.
All right. Well, before we go, can we just talk about this Terrence Williams dental scam real quick?
Sure.
I'm sure most people who are listening to this pod already know this, but Terrence Williams and about like six other Nets were indicted as part of a federal investigation.
It's not good.
For defrauding like the NBA veterans players insurance, health insurance fund.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of former Nets who are tied to this. Terrence Williams was the leader, but Alan Anderson was in there. Sebastian Telfair, who was not a Net, but, you know, very well known. Darius Miles, who I thought was on to bigger and better things at this point.
No, Telfair had a cup of coffee with the Nets at some point. Didn't he?
He did?
I think so.
It's probably right. And Brian's probably his like favorite player who did the least. Chris Douglas Roberts.
And I'm going to keep telling you to stop dead naming this man. It's a problem. He changed his name to Supreme Bay. Guys, respect respect the name change.
So, and I'm reading this directly from NBC's page because they broke the biggest part of the story. But this is incredible. So Terrence Williams, I think we all remember him. I remember being excited about him because I always get excited about the 6'10 athletic semi-ball handling big who ends up not doing anything. But I'm always excited about that player. That was Terrence Williams. So Terrence Williams was the orchestrator of this scheme, and he recruited other players by supplying them with fake invoices to support their fraudulent claims. And to give those fake invoices, he then got a kickback Federal prosecutors say at least 10 co-conspirators paid kickbacks to Williams totaling approximately $230,000. What he would have them do is claim that they needed certain medical procedures, dental procedures, and like all of them put in basically the same tooth that they were getting the procedure.
Same tooth.
Well, this is where the story turns. Right? However, when Supreme Bay,
thank you,
also known as Chris Douglas Roberts, didn't pay his kickback, Terrence Williams took to impersonating the health plan administrators to intimidate him.
Oh, boy.
Williams is accused of creating a phony email from an administrator and falsely raising a potential issue with Douglas Roberts's, Supreme Bay's, reimbursement in an effort to frighten him into paying his kickback.
Didn't the pirate code. He violated the pirate code. It's amazing.
So, and I didn't read, is then Supreme Bay, is he like the informant in this situation? Is he, did he go to the authorities and?
That would be insane if he did that. I mean, that would be really dumb. I really do recommend everybody. There's a 20-minute interview with Supreme Bay, which from like 2 years ago, which is will reveal a whole lot about his thinking in general. But yeah, he's like struggling. Like he's struggling and it seems like has a tenuous grasp on reality. So a difficult person to be one of your cohorts in a criminal scheme, I think, and one that you probably will instantly regret working with. But yeah, so it's possible that he was an informant without realizing it, or I don't know, you know, that kind, that whole kind of thing. I didn't read through all the way to that point.
I didn't dive in
enough. It's possible, but the whole thing that it's so net-centric, and especially from that era, is pretty, it's chef's kiss. I mean, like, that's the real, that's the way to end that, like, 1270 era of Nets basketball. Because that was like the worst team in basketball history.
Yeah. And like to think that this scam was born in that locker room amongst those players, like eventually those relationships, like, and obviously like, you know, we can, it's, you know, it's not good. What is alleged to have happened?
What is good? You know, let's admit ethically.
You know, I feel bad for these. I also feel bad for, I mean, I don't know. Do you feel bad? I guess it's like, I don't know where they are in their life. Maybe they really need the money and that doesn't mean they should steal it, but Oh, wait. Oh, we have breaking news.
Oh gosh.
All right. For the podcast audience, we're going to end the show here and then we're going to attach O'Brien.
What is it like?
Shams is tweeting that Kyrie will not play or practice with the team until he is a full participant.
Great. Great.
So let's let people behind the curtain. Do you think that most of our show, I feel like most of our manufactured tension was fine. Or do you think that, I think what we should do, you and I, is we should just do a new open, talk about that. And then like the rest of the show is like, fine. Be like, hey guys, you know, most, yeah, we didn't record this. You know, we recorded this part later.
Yeah.
Does that feel good to you?
Fast forward. Here we go. Like, thanks for watching, everybody. And then, like, let's go record the new open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good close.
That was it. Bye, everybody.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.